This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lou Merlone this week, brought to you by Zenni, the official eyewear of the Boston Red Sox. Major league style at minor league prices. Visit Zenni.com. And he joins us this morning on the Harbor One Hotline. Hey, Lou.
What's up, boys? Good morning. How are we doing?
Another win for your beloved Boston Red Sox yesterday.
Yeah.
I think you may be right about 87 plus wins for this team. I mean, I have, like many, I have PTSD, and I keep waiting for them to fall apart. But they're on a bit of a streak here.
Yeah, and you know, I think everyone's sort of waiting for it. But 15, 16 games into it, people say they can't keep it up, and I think they can. And maybe not at this pace. It's just I think they're deeper than a lot of people want to give them credit for. The effort is there. That thing is consistent. That is sustainable. You know, I think they lose a body or two. They slide some other guys in the roles. They have more pitching depth than people want to give them credit for. I don't think they're going anywhere. I'm not saying they're going to run away with the American League or going to win the American League or even their own division. But again, you know, the starting point here, where people thought they were going to win 79 games, you know, 80 games, and I didn't see that. And I had them at 87, high 80s, and they might sneak into the 90s, and we'll see where that takes them.
So is the significant difference between, because it doesn't seem to be personnel. Is the significant difference between this year and last year the manager?
Well, I think it is personnel too, though. I mean, I think that, you know, the pitching staff last year was like a 4A staff. None of them, you know, only 3 or 4 or 5 guys deserved to be in the big leagues or earned that right.
Okay.
You know, and the others were just giving it to them. So I think the pitching wise, the personnel is a lot different. And some of the guys that he brought in, you know, Kike Hernandez, Marwin Gonzalez, you know, guys have been in the World Series before, guys that have won. You know, Hunter Renfroe was in the World Series last year, you know. So it's just, he brought in some veteran pieces, you know, similar to 13, some of the guys that they brought in, kind of just guys that can play the game that have won in the past. But there's no question Alex Cora is a huge difference. I mean, they love playing for him. He gets a lot out of his guys, communicates well with them. A lot of this, yeah, that's got to do with him and the new personnel.
Lou, what is it about, like, we talk about coaches in sports, right, and how they can get the best out of their players. And, you know, some sports, you don't need a great basketball coach because you just got to have the best player. But what is it about baseball and what the manager can bring out of players or just seems like it makes it look like he can make a team play better?
Well, I think, you know, looking at like with Cora and, you know, his career, utility guy, I mean, there's just a lot of failure. You know, there's a lot of up and down, you know, and he still had made a career out of it. So I just think communicating that, relating to the player, you know, the player sort of sits there sometimes, thinks he's the only one going through it, you know, and when he's going through a tough time, just look at a guy like Rafi Devers. You know, he's like, man, I just, right now, let's be honest, I'm lacking confidence throwing the baseball. And Cora's like, yeah, you know what? I was like that in 07. You know, in 08, whatever, this is what I did. So I know what you're talking about, but this is what I did to work out of it. You're going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. And then a week later, you know, he's feeling better about himself. And you kind of look at each other, and you're like, okay, thank you. You know, thanks for helping me. So I just think the fact that he can relate, and it's not just position players, it's not just hitters, but it's also pitchers, and understands, you know, this game, failures, mentally what guys are going through, and maybe at times exactly what they need to hear. I think that's where he's really good at it.
Hey, Lou, if the record had been reversed and they were 6-11, would we be hearing the Cora cheating stuff? Like, how important was the start for him? And we were talking earlier in the last couple of days about Edelman And it's so amazing how the football guys, you can't even bring up the steroid issue with Edelman in the Hall of Fame. People get, like, it doesn't matter in football, but it's the cheating in baseball is still so stunningly different compared to other sports.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know if it's just fake outrage or just, you know, part of the kind of like hate on baseball mob that wants to jump in it. But I think it's more than that because it's been going on for years. You're absolutely right. A guy gets busted, you know, steroid use, HGH, whatever. In baseball, they're done. You know, they don't want him in a Hall of Fame. They want him out of the game. He's a complete disgrace. And in football, it's like, well, when can he come back? So he's got 4 weeks off. And then he comes back week five, right? Which is perfect because that way he can kind of rest his knee a little bit. Like, it's a completely different conversation. The start is very important for these guys. You know, and everybody can sit there and say, well, they're only 16 games into the season. We'll see. Well, like you said, if they were 5-11, I think that people would already have their outcome of what this team is and who they are. So, and Cora would be getting shredded. Heim Bloom would be getting shredded. All of a sudden now people are sitting there saying, you know, I don't mind this Heim Bloom guy. I think he's kind of onto something, right? So, I mean, the whole... Just in the 3 week span, just the whole talk around the team and some guys individually, I think changes.
Lou, we were talking about, like, you know, cheating in the game and how, you know, in football, there's a lot of things that you try to do to push the limits. It's like everybody's doing it. And in baseball, you know, it's kind of been like that unwritten rule. How do you feel like of the whole cheating in baseball, whether it's stealing signs and whether it's the Astros going, you know, a little bit extreme to steal those signs?
He has absolutely no problem with anybody cheating.
Yeah, like,
it doesn't bother. Like, stealing the playbook out of the locker room is not a big deal to Wiggy whatsoever.
Yeah, don't leave it there.
I think what the Astros did was a joke, because I think, and the biggest reason why, you know, when a guy's on second base, and if you can decipher what sign he's using and you can relay it to the hitter, so be it. But there's a reason why he's given multiple signs, because he knows you're out there and he knows you're trying to cheat or you're trying to get an edge. What the Astros did is catchers had no idea that they were being preyed upon. You know, man on first, you know, you go to one sign. Man on third, one sign. First and third, one sign. Base is empty, one sign. And there's no reason to give multiple signs because no one's on second. The Astros are taking advantage of that, and you know, at a time when teams weren't being defensive about it. So that's the thing that gets me. I, you know, the video stuff in the middle game, so be it. I don't really mind too much. I understand why they want it kind of out of the game. I get that. But there's a lot of natural sign stealing. I mean, a lot of it. You know, and I still think this team is good at it. I still think the Yankees are very good at it. So I think the Dodgers are very good at it because they know what to look for. But I'm with you, Wiggy. I know what you mean. I just think the Astros went way too far preying on a catcher that had no clue that people were looking at his signs.
Lou, it's Tournament of Champions week as far as who's going to replace Danielle, and Elaine is here today.
What's up, Lou?
Hey, Elaine, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
She has a question for you.
Good. I'm surprised you haven't decided to leave yet with these animals.
She's close.
I'm close. Cool. I've flirted with the door a few times.
She fits right in, though.
Lou, there's rumor mill that Heim Bloom may be sneaky. Sneaky is like the word of this season, I feel like. Wouldn't want the Red Sox to really compete this year, so maybe he could sell at the deadline and kind of rebuild the team from, you know, scratch. Do you think the team really needs to be rebuilt? Can you make that call right now?
Yeah, I think he's starting that rebuild process, but I totally know what you mean. Like, I think that, you know, if he was kind of on the fringe but out of it and people just looked at it as a total rebuild, he would sit there and say, okay, I'm going to maximize Ottavino, I'm going to maximize Matt Barnes. Mostly Vasquez, who knows? We're going to get a ton for him because I might like this kid Connor Wong behind him. So, you know, yeah, and I think if you're in first place or in the playoffs, I think that makes it extremely difficult to do. I still think that he can make some moves on the fringes and kind of, you know, even if they are into it. But it'll be interesting. I don't think he'll mind that if they're in the playoff race, to be honest with you. But I think he's done a really nice job of kind of actually rebuilding this thing. I think the minor league system is a lot better than it was 2 years ago. I think you're going to see this thing top five, top 10 minor league system, even by mid-season reports with the same guys. So I think he's already done an awful lot to rebuild this thing.
Speaking of that, Lou, prediction now, a couple weeks in, first and second place in the division is who? Who finishes 1 and 2?
Tampa Bay and Toronto.
Ooh.
Yeah, Tampa Bay wins the division, Chicago, Minnesota in the Central. I don't really know about the West right now as much. I still get to see those two teams. I still think Tampa's the best team. I thought they were at the beginning of the year. Yankees are a fourth-place team. Red Sox are in third with that 89-90 win total range, maybe. But I think Toronto's actually a team that scares me, and they might actually be the best team in the East. But I got to see more. I mean, Robbie Ray and Steven Matt, these two guys, lefties, that I think were questions coming in, given what they looked like the last couple of years, have been just absolutely lights out. And Ryu is great, who's throwing tonight. So if those other two guys can keep that up, that rotation might be enough because that offense is good. But the Rays pitching, like some of their best pitchers on this staff, well, obviously Glasnow is, but the second-best pitcher and the third-best pitcher aren't even here yet. Like, they're coming up, like, in another month or two. Like, they're not even here yet. So that team is just absolutely stacked in pitching.
Lou, I heard you guys yesterday talking about the seven-inning games. You don't mind them, correct? You're not a traditionalist.
I like the seven-inning game doubleheaders. I like those. Now, there's conversation about going to sevens total, and then I would hate it. Like, I would despise it with a passion. But the doubleheaders, I think it's nice. I think it's unique. I think it's different. I think it kind of, before doubleheaders was like, oh, it's a long day of baseball. I want no part of it. Now I think people are kind of curious what a seven-inning game looks like. So it's all about drawing up interest.
Lou, when you look at this Red Sox team, they a playoff team in your mind. What's the expectations for you, come the end of the season for this Boston Red Sox team?
Yeah, I do. I think that they are kind of like that fringe playoff team. You know what I mean? I think 90 wins is kind of like a fringe playoff team. I still need to see. And listen, everything could change because next thing you know, I mean, by August, Sale could actually come back and look like Chris Sale. Evaldi could stay healthy. E-Rod could be healthy. Tanner Houck could be in this rotation. Whitlock could be in this rotation. Seabolt could be in this rotation. So I think actually the floor for this team to me is like 87, 88 wins and like a third place finish. But, yeah, they should be competing for a playoff spot. And if things go well with the staff late in the year, then they should be a playoff team.
By the way, Ken, Whitlock, Rule 5 guy. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh, baseball hardo.
Rule 5 guy. That a boy, Greg.
Nicely done.
Yeah, Rule 5 guy.
Okay.
I keep him here all year.
I don't want to get into what that means, but that was good job.
I have no idea what that means.
And it was very nice of Wiggy to ask the same question that Ken just asked about Lou's expectations for the season.
Listen, I had a I won't say who it was, but I had a discussion with one of Lou's teammates yesterday about that very pitcher and about them being the organization being very high on him.
Okay.
Very high on him.
Yeah. Very. Yeah, that's why they're stretching him out. Yeah. I don't know if he'll be in the rotation this year, but I think they're counting on him kind of be there like next year. I think they look at him as rotation depth. I mean, he's filthy. He's like a steal from the Yankees. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Like, Rule 5 pick, you just sort of sit there. Like, last year, the kid Jonathan Arauz, whatever his name was, and you're like, yeah, you got to bury him in the – all year long, keep him up all year long to kind of keep him in your system because you want him in your system as a minor league player. This kid's not that type of Rule 5 pick. Like, this kid's like, your best reliever other than Barnes. This kid's like going to be in your rotation. Like, he's an absolute stud, and that's a great find for Bloom.
All right, Lou.
Well, there you go. Rule 5.
Thanks for getting up. And yeah, Rule 5.
Rule 4?
Rule four is that a game must go past 4 hours. That's Rule 4 in Major League Baseball. All right, Lou.
Bye, Lou.
It's great to talk to you.
Thank you, peeps. All right. You got it. Have a good one.
Thanks, Lou.
All right. Later.
There's Lou Maloney.
Baseball's back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.